May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 247. 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn number 247.
Oh,
Our reading from God's holy word is from the book of the Judges, chapter 3. The book of the Judges, chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgat the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had 2 edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king. who said, "Keep silence." And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlour which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God unto thee." And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlour upon him and locked them. And when he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlour were locked, they said, "Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber." And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlour. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, "Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand." And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valour, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. And after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
O Lord, do mercifully grant much needed help as we venture to call upon thy holy name in prayer. Do enable us to do so with reverence and with godly fear. O leave us not to rush thoughtlessly into thy presence, for holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And oh, what sinners we are in thy sight, since I can therefore hardly bear what in myself I see. How very vile and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee. But if my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Oh, may that be our blessed experience now. For no man cometh unto the Father but by thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, we do need thee to be our mediator, our intercessor, our daysman, our high priest. Lord, thou knowest what sight we have, of what we have been and what we still are. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. O, do come, Lord, and speak thy pardoning grace to me. Set the burden sinner free. Lead me to the Lamb of God. Wash me in his precious blood. Oh, bless us, Lord, with living faith in exercise in our hearts, to believe what thy word declares. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, it's still a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord, do undertake for us, do take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We will be thankful, Lord, for thy sparing mercy and preserving care over us, bringing us here in safety amid so many dangers. O Lord, we would not lose sight of thy mercies, would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But O Lord, as thou hast gathered us here, how deeply we need thy gracious help, thy presence, thy blessing. Lord, leave us not to be content with the outward form without knowing the inward power. May thy gospel come unto us, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Shield us, Lord, from the fiery darts of the evil one. Subdue all the evils of our own heart, especially that mighty evil of unbelief. Oh, what a plague indeed it is to us. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to plead thy promises, for thou hast said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. O Lord, do help us then to come in faith, to come begging for those mercies that we so much need, to be made nigh. Oh, it's only thy precious blood as applied to our hearts that can cleanse away those mountains of sin that often seem to separate between ourselves and thee. Lord, do thus come and work in us both to will and to do of thy good pleasure. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word, and pray that thou would open thy word and open our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, what poor dependent creatures we are, but thou wouldst have us to feel it. So dependent upon thy Holy Spirit, for every word we speak, every thought that is right in our souls. O Lord, alas, we have to confess so many wrong thoughts, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do pray that thou would hear the petitions of those who have come prayerfully to thy court. Hear the petitions that were offered up to thee in the vestry before the service, and send down answers of peace. O Lord, do come and apply thy word with saving power to our hearts and consciences. If there are those present with us who as yet are in nature's darkness, that kingdom of darkness, O Lord, do quicken them. Translate them out of that kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Convince them of their sin. Then lead to Jesus' blood. And to their wandering view reveal the secret love of God. We pray that thou wilt thus work in the hearts of the young who meet here on thy day, that they may be a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee blessed, that they may be given grace to choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Lord, do remember then the rising generation. Remember those who are bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Lord, we pray that they may prove thee to be their burden bearer. Oh, how needful thy exhortation. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Not remove every burden, but give grace to bear it. Oh, Lord, thus we pray that thou wilt appear for burdened souls, not only for those who may have providential and circumstantial burdens, but especially for those who have the great burden of their souls, the burden of their sins. O Lord, do in mercy speak peace and pardon to their souls. Lord, how we need thee to bring us out of that state of bondage in which we so often are, into the blessed liberty of the children of God. Lord, do come and do remember, Lord, those who like ourselves are in the eventide of life. Infirmities and weaknesses, one after another, remind us of our frailty and mortality. Lord, we do pray that these things may be sanctified to our good. We pray that if it could please thee, sparing mercies may be granted, and restoring mercies where thine afflicting hand has been laid. But oh, may we and each one of us, old or young or middle aged, be found much concerned about our latter end. For none of us know how soon or how suddenly that might come to us. Then, oh my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and purge my sins away. We pray for the whole Israel of God, for all thy people known and unknown to us. Lord, remember the afflicted, the tried, the tempted, those in adversity, and those, Lord, who are persecuted and oppressed for the truth's sake. Lord, do command deliverances for them. They are weak, Lord, but thou art mighty. Oh, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hasten that day of which we read, when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. When thine ancient race shall look upon thee, whom they have pierced, and mourn for thee. O Lord, we long for the same blessing ourselves, but oh, do hasten that day which thy word assures us will not only be a blessing to the Jew, but as life from the dead to the Gentile church also. Remember, Lord, our land and nation, what land so favoured as the skies in the past, but now what land so vile. O Lord, we wonder at thy long suffering. We do not wonder at thy judgments that are upon us in measure, but not as we deserve. Do pray, Lord, that wisdom may be given to those in authority, and if it could be thy holy will, real repentance unto life to many from the throne downwards. Lord, grant that thy word, which was heard by many a few days ago, may have a saving effect in the hearts of some, if it could please thee. And oh, do mercifully save us from evil men and women who wax worse and worse. Preserve to us our liberties. Lord, we pray, subject to thy holy will, whatever thy will ordains for us, we do pray for grace to endure unto the end. For he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Grant true thankfulness of heart, Lord, for thy many providential mercies bestowed upon us, thy preserving care over us, thy provision for us. Lord, what a debt of gratitude we owe to thee for all thy mercies. Forgive our ingratitude, forgive our every sin. Help us now, Lord, through the remainder of this service. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive, for thy name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1003. 1003. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Hymn 1003.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's gracious help. We venture to turn this evening to the chapter we read, the third chapter in the book of the Judges. I'll direct your attention to a few words in the 20th verse. Verse 20 in the third chapter in the book of the Judges. And these words, "And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. Part of the 20th verse of the third chapter, the book of the Judges. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. The context of these words which we have read this evening will show the circumstances in which Ehud spoke these words. In the previous chapter, we read of the sad condition that Israel came into after the death of that godly leader, Joshua. We read in the 10th verse of the second chapter, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And so, as we found in our reading, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers and went after the idols of those nations which the Lord had left still in the land of Canaan. And the anger of the Lord was hot against them. And he caused them first of all to be brought into subjection unto Cushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. There they knew hard bondage for 8 years. But they cried unto the Lord. Oh, what it took to cause the children of Israel to cry unto the Lord. What does it take us to cause us to cry unto the Lord? And so the Lord raised up Othniel. He delivered the Israelites, and the land had rest for 40 years. But oh, how prone they were to return again and again and again to the same evils. And so we come to what I felt was very solemn as I read this chapter through a few days ago in the 12th verse, where it says, "The Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel." How unspeakably solemn when the Lord strengthens their enemies against them. Oh, if we have outward oppressors, men of this world, does it cause a searching of heart as to why the Lord has permitted them thus to oppress us? When men of spite against me join, they are the sword, the hand is thine. Oh, solemn indeed when the Lord is as it were, strengthening our enemies against us. And so we find that Eglon prevailed against Israel and they served him for 18 years. It seems from what we read in the 15th verse, it took all that long time to cause them to cry unto the Lord. Well, again, a word to cause us much heart searching, is it not? But when they cried unto the Lord, he raised up another deliverer. This man Ehud, a Benjamite, left-handed man. Now I'm not going to attempt to excuse or condone the way in which he wrought deliverance for Israel. God overruled it. God can overrule things that in and of themselves are not right for the good of his people, the honour and glory of his name. And so we leave the way in which he assassinated this cruel king in the hands of God, God knows. But what we want to do is to look, as the Lord may enable us, at the words he spoke. I have a message from God unto thee. What a solemn message it was indeed for him. It was death. I have a message from God unto thee. And indeed, if we consider things aright, we all have that same message. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Oh, every one of us, as we come into this world, we're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And this sentence has been pronounced, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The message from God. Oh, how few hear it. How few lay it to heart. Multitudes do not want to hear about it. But oh, it's still the truth. God's message to the whole of Adam's fallen race. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But there are those who by God's grace are caused to hear it and caused to lay it to heart. I do not wish to over-spiritualise what we have before us in this chapter, but you'll notice that the weapon which Ehud used was that dagger, which was sharp on both sides. Oh, does it not take us to something which we read of in the Epistle to the Hebrews? There we have another weapon. The Word of God. For the Word of God is quick. That is, it gives life. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Has the Holy Spirit used that sword upon us? That sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God. The message that God has set before us in his holy word. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. Showing us what is in our hearts. all our transgressions in our hearts as well as our open sins. A man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Those verses we quoted in prayer, since I can therefore hardly bear what in myself I see. How very vile and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee. That's the effect of the Holy Spirit using this sword which is sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God, piercing our hearts, showing us what is there, revealing to us our sin, showing us what transgressors we are, transgressors of his word, transgressors of his law. Oh, why was the law given? The Pharisees thought it was given to them in order that they could use it as a ladder to reach unto heaven. Oh, Saul of Tarsus thought he was doing so well in obeying the law that he said, as touching the righteousness that is in the law, he considered himself to be blameless. But when the sword entered his heart, as we have just been speaking of it, then he saw that the law had a different office altogether. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. Oh, God's holy law, the message that God gave amidst all the thunderings and lightnings of Mount Sinai, that holy law as it applies to our hearts. Oh, it reveals to us how sin has abounded. Now it does abound. Now helpless we are to stop it abounding. Paul himself had experienced it when the law entered his heart, as he describes in the 7th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. He says, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that's evil desires. Ah, then he was no longer boasting of his righteousness as he had been as a Pharisee. Then he saw what he was in the sight of a holy God, a sinner, condemned to die. Ah, then, and not till the Spirit applied that law, was it the sword of God, the messenger of God into his soul. He knew the law as far as the letter of it was concerned from his childhood. But what a difference between knowing the letter of the law and knowing it as God's message to our souls, piercing even to the dividing of asunder the soul and the spirit, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. He goes on to say, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. I said earlier I did not wish to over-spiritualize the case before us, and certainly not to say anything that might be deemed as unseemly. But we've read of when that two-edged dagger was thrust into Ehud and went completely inside him, that the dirt came out. Well, is not that just what the apostle experienced? Oh, it showed him all the filth within, all the sin within. It came out. Oh, it doesn't mean that it broke out into his life. No, from that time onward, what a holy, self-denying, God-honoring life he lived. But oh, he knew its aboundings within. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Oh, it was indeed the plague of his heart, as Solomon prayed in the prayer that he offered at the dedication of the temple. For I know that in me, this is the effect of this message from God, this sword of the Spirit. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He describes it as being a law that was so strong within me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Oh, there's a remedy. This sword is not to slay in the sense to leave the soul to sink in despair. No, it's to slay all hope in itself. But oh, there is a remedy. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, has the law had this gracious effect? Has this message from God had this gracious effect upon us? Or are we still like those that Ezekiel speaks of in his 33rd chapter? There we find the Lord saying to him, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. Oh, it sounded right, didn't it? It sounded as if they wanted to hear the Lord's message to their souls. That's what they said with their lips. And then the word goes on to say, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. Yes, they come just as the Lord's people came. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, that is the words that Ezekiel preached to them. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Oh, are we like those to whom Ezekiel preached? Oh, come and hear. Yes. Apparently show delight, and yet the word has no gracious saving effect. They're not brought to hate their sins and loathe their sins and pray to be delivered from their sins. They go on with a form of godliness, trying to hold the world in one hand and religion in the other hand. Solemn if they're left in that condition till they die. The Lord spake of some such characters in one of his parables, where in that day, that last day, there were those who would come and say to him, Lord, thou hast taught in our streets. We've eaten and drunk in thy presence. Yes, even some have said that they'd cast out devils in his name. For the Lord said, I never knew you. never knew you as poor, guilty, perishing sinners, loathing your sins, praying for mercy, longing for forgiveness, looking alone to myself for salvation. Or does the message that the Lord delivers in his word and by his servants have a gracious effect upon us? How solemn is our accountability as hearers of his word. We read of those cities, Capernaum, Bethsaida, other cities of Galilee, in which most of the Lord's mighty works were done, and yet they repented not. He said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, yes, even for Sodom and Gomorrah, in the day of judgment, than for such cities. Oh, may we then lay to heart, or ask the Lord to help us to lay to heart, what we hear in his courts, what we read in his word, that it may have a gracious effect upon us. I have a message from God unto thee. Yes, there were many that the Lord raised up like Ezekiel to preach to his people. Haggai describes himself in one place as the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Oh, they did not speak a message out of their own hearts like the false prophets did, who prophesied good, who contended with the Lord's gracious prophets. Ah, indeed, there were many such in Israel. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. But the Lord raised up faithful preachers. The last one in the Old Testament days, before that dark period between the Testaments, was Malachi. And his name means my messenger. My messenger. Yes, the Lord sent him. And what did he have to deliver as his message from the Lord? You read the first two chapters in his short prophecy and you'll find he was rebuking one evil after another. They weren't idolaters now like they had been in the days of Ehud. But they were so indifferent and careless and sinful in the way that they served the Lord. They brought the sick and the lame, and they were guilty of many other sins. And the Lord sent his messenger, my messenger, to rebuke them. But there were some who laid those things to heart. Oh, they searched their own hearts. And the Lord had messages of peace and comfort for them. We find in the third chapter of that prophecy that there Malachi speaks of the coming of two messengers. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And that was to be John the Baptist, who was to go before the Lord and prepare a people for the Lord. And how did he do it? By preaching to them of their sins, their iniquities. And that baptism which he administers was the baptism of repentance. And many professed to repent of their sins and were baptized by him. But Malachi also spake of another messenger. Ah, even the messenger of the covenant. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Ah, but then he said, but who may abide the day of his coming? Who are those people who are prepared to receive the messenger of the covenant, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ himself? Why, it's those dear souls of whom we read later on in that chapter. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Does that include us? Well, some of us are very much condemned, perhaps, by that word that says that they spake often one to another. But some of us may have to confess our failure in that, but do we still think upon his name? Because the word goes as low as that, those that think upon his name. Mercy if we do. And unto those blessed characters, fearful characters, yes, but blessed unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. One other scripture has been upon my mind concerning the message. I have a message from God unto you. And that is the message that we find in the first epistle of John, in the first chapter. Oh, there we find the message both of the holiness of God, his hatred of sin, and also of the blessed remedy as provided for sinners. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, we cannot hide ourselves from God. As David tells us in that 139th Psalm, no place we may hide ourselves from this light. That God is light, he can see everything. Not only hears our words and sees our actions, but sees our thoughts. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we call ourselves Christians, if we think of ourselves as being amongst the Lord's people and walk in darkness, that's the darkness of sin, not the darkness of experience that some of the Lord's people are often found in. Compare it with the word in Isaiah where the Lord speaks comfortable words to those who walk in darkness and have no light. The Lord will be gracious unto them. No, this darkness that John speaks of is the darkness of walking in sin. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, what a blessed message. Oh, it is our mercy that the Word of God not only contains those messages that we've been speaking of, God's hatred of sin, the penalty due to sin. I spoke of the soul that sinneth, it shall die, but I should have opened that up to speak not only of the death of the body, but the death, the second death, eternal death. Oh, how solemn indeed is that message which the Word of God brings before us. But another message from God. Oh, the message that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But who are those who are encompassed within that little word us? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we amongst this people? Is this a mark of the effect that the message of God has had upon us? Do we confess our sins? Not just with our lips. Oh, many will repeat words of confession in their forms of prayer, but never felt true conviction of sin. Never knew what it was to grieve on account of sin. But oh, this is confession from the heart. From a broken and a contrite heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the amazing message of God to guilty sinners, that there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. But how can a holy God forgive unholy sinners? Oh, there's only one way. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. God's law demands that sin must be punished. If the law is not satisfied, then the law would come into disrepute. Earthly laws often do, because they're not enforced. But oh, God's law will be enforced. It must be enforced for the glory of God. But it's our great mercy that that law may inflict the punishment due to sins upon a surety as well as upon the sinner himself. But who could be a surety for guilty, perishing sinners that have broken God's law in thought and word and deed? Not the most righteous man, not the highest angels. No, but one only. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who in the fullness of time took our nature into union with his divine nature. Why? For this very purpose, that he might have somewhat to offer, might shed his precious blood, might lay down his life a sacrifice for sinners. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed, and I'm a sinner, vile indeed. Lord, I believe thy grace is free. Oh, magnify that grace in me. Oh, is this the message you want to hear? You've heard the message of God in his law, condemning you for your sins, showing you only deserve to be banished from him eternally. Oh, are you pleading for mercy? Pleading that the Lord will speak this message to you? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Leave not my soul destitute. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, we do need to hear this message. Long to hear it. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That message that the Lord spake to the poor palsied man. His four friends brought him to the Lord Jesus, but they couldn't get in because of the crowd about him. So they went up on the roof and removed part of the roof and let their friend down. Oh, the Lord said first to him, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Before he dealt with the malady of his body, he dealt with the root cause first. For all affliction, directly or indirectly, is the fruit of sin. Oh, what welcome news we believe it would be to that poor man. We don't think that that man was saying, but it's my palsy I want dealing with. No, we believe he was a convinced sinner, or the Lord would never have spoken such gracious words to him. Oh, there we see a blessed message. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Others too we find to whom the Lord spake this blessed message. When Nathan came to King David with that message, thou art the man, you're the sinner, you're the murderer, you're the adulterer. Oh, what hope could there be for David? But then the message that Nathan delivered to him, the Lord hath forgiven thy sin. Did that make David excuse or belittle his sins? Not at all. Ah, real repentance flows from Calvary. There is indeed a repentance as we hear the words of the law, but true heartfelt repentance, godly sorrow for sin, grace mourning over sin, loathing ourselves. Why, that pours itself out in real repentance. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, the soul that is favoured to believe that his sins nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross will be filled with grief and love, grief over his sins, and love to the Lord forever, deigning to die in the room and place of such a sinner as he feels himself to be. Oh, do we long for the Lord to speak this message with power to our hearts. Oh, those whom he thus favours with a good hope through grace in his mercy and in the forgiveness of their sins, how one day they will hear another message. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, the work that the Holy Spirit has accomplished in them in conviction of sin, and then in revealing the hope that God has set before them in the gospel, is to make them meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. And there, washed from all their sins in the precious blood of Christ, and clothed in his spotless righteousness, they will be found with Christ, which is far better, eternally shut in. And he had said, I have a message from God unto thee. May the Lord give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's leave it there. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 27. 27. Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Hymn number 27.
do mercifully pardon all that thou hast seen amiss in our service this evening. Do watch over us now as we part. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore. Amen.